Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Lindsay Hopkins, she is the KwaZulu-Natal Operations Manager at SA Harvest. A very, very good morning to you, and thanks for speaking to us, Lindsay. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning. Yes, thanks for having a chat.
So we've been talking about food pricing. One of the things that SA Harvest does, I know, is the redistribution of food, food that's not being used, trying to gather that food and redistribute it. But this is actually happening on a global level, that food is being dumped and not being used. Can you give us a sense of how serious this problem is, both locally and internationally?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a very, very a critical situation. In South Africa alone, we're dumping about 10 million tons of food every day.
Oh, my God.
And we're only producing 31 million tons. So unfortunately, a third is going into landfill, which is totally unacceptable. It just stems from the fact that there's a global drive of just trying to stop all countries from dumping food into landfills. It happens in every country in the world, unfortunately. Behind this is it's almost cheaper just to dump it and run a new line of food. If it gets to a distribution center and there's something leaked or cracked or broken, they will send the whole shipment back and just replace it and send a new line of food. To order that food that's there, it's just almost cheaper to dump it than spend the time and the effort on it.
What's the biggest culprit? If we look at this 10 million tons of food being dumped a day, is it households, restaurants, supermarkets, farmers, or is it spread throughout?
I want to say it's spread throughout. There's a lot of supermarket level, unfortunately, these perishables, which they're dumping every day. From farm level, it's tricky for farmers. They are dumping quite a large volume of, you know, percentage, anything between 20% up to 40%. And the reason being on their side is that agents and markets will only buy the perfectly shaped and colored.
Yeah, one of our listeners was saying that earlier, is it just puts such tremendous pressure on, whereas food that isn't perfect and doesn't look, have the perfect shape is still as nutritious, which is so sad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, sometimes you don't want a massive big extra large cucumber at the shops. You would like the smaller, thinner ones, and they're crispier and crunchier, but you only get the big extra large ones that get the huge fortune. So it's really tricky. And then we can blame the end consumer, that the fact that we've become picky, but I think we've also just been accustomed to, or just been pushed into that direction. That's why markets are now becoming so much more popular.
Right. So how does one address this? Because it very clearly has to happen. It needs to be a multiple pronged approach. It can't just be the supermarkets, can't just be the farmers, it can't just be the restaurants, caterers. It's surely got to happen everywhere.
Well, what's interesting is you've got a massive drive going on, and it is at a global approach. So if you have a look at WWF, for example, we've got the food loss and waste. And by 2030, we've got big corporates with all of their suppliers trying to reduce food loss to landfill by 2030 in half, and if not by 100%. So the landfills legislation is going to change. It is changing right now, and there is going to be a big stamp where you cannot dump your food into landfill. It has to be redistributed, or something else has to happen. There's also a huge environmental impact by organic waste sitting at landfill. It releases a harmful gas, it's methane gas, which is 26 times more harmful than carbon dioxide. So it's got a direct impact to climate change.
Do our regulations make it more difficult? You know, food safety and all of these things, where caterers are forced, for example, to throw away food?
Yes, there is that. People are very scared, especially in the corporate industry as well. You don't want somebody to get sick and for you sued if we trace it back and say, well, that was a product from that corporate and that's what's why somebody got sick. So as a food rescue organization ourselves, we've got a certificate of acceptance that we get from the health department, and we go by strict rules and regulations. So we've got refrigerated trucks, so we don't break cold chains. And if anything, what you're trying to do now is facilitate the smaller NGOs and help them with logistics and let them do the last leg. But there's got to be a bit of we've also got a big transparent platform so people can see expiry dates, and then you manage it as stringent as possible, but then let the smaller NGOs do the last leg, if you know what I mean.
Tell us about SA Harvest.
It's just we're a national food rescue organization. We've got offices throughout South Africa, And for us, you know, sufficient nutritious food is a basic human right. So we're definitely dealing with underlying systemic issues to what we should be have access to. But at the moment, we're dealing with the current crisis, which is all the food going to landfill, and then also all this 19 million people that go to bed with an empty tummy. And then with that, once we can fill people's tummies, then we can help them get education or develop or, you know, skills and live upliftment. And we just go through different, we've got lots of different partners where we collect food from every single day. And we've got beneficiaries throughout that we deliver to every single day.
I see that on some of my WhatsApp groups, there's collections from neighborhoods. Can people get involved and do that, arrange, for example, in their street that that there's a collection or a delivery to SA Harvest? Is it happening on that level still as well?
Yes, it does. What we do is we generally look, if we've got neighborhoods that want to do that, that's an incredible, it's such a good thing, and it's so good for the community and for us to get into and collect. But then at the same time, we collect a can. So we go to schools every day, and there's a different grade per school, and they collect a can. And then at least from there, once we've collected everything, we write the expiry dates and what we've received, and then we'll send it to an orphanage or to a school, and then we can feed it back to the school. So it's a small contribution, but I mean, if 8 million people provided Canada, then
absolutely,
we'd be okay.
Well, I think it's more than that, because I think what it does is it changes our approach and our psyche. It keeps reinforcing the message that we shouldn't be wasting food, that all food needs to go to the right place, and that it shouldn't just be wasted. So I think it's an important message.
Absolutely. I mean, household waste, we do. People are dumping and throwing away food all day, every day, and they just look at it and think, well, I don't know what to do with this, I'm going to throw it away. But there's so many homeless shelters and so many orphanages. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so we do have lots of these collection points. And with the collector can comes clothing and stationery and stuff, which is a huge help, because we've got communities that, you know, the usual saying of one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Absolutely.
And it really goes a long way. Doors and windows and glass that gets dumped every day from hardware stores. We go and get cut out measurements and go and get them to cut the glass up for us and take it back into community.
There's, in fact, Ilana says, just listening to today's show, to the horrific waste and then listening to the inspiring people who try and help, this is something we should all be getting behind. There's a Jewish law, a mitzvah of Bal Tashchit, which means we shouldn't be wasting or breaking things. We should be keeping things. So, really inspiring and fascinating. Lindsay Hopkins, KwaZulu-Natal Operations Manager at SA Harvest. Unfortunately, they're gesturing that I do need to go to news, but
yes.
Thank you for taking the time to speak to us and keep doing the incredible work that you are doing.